Once you've had a bite of salty French fries or a cheeseburger with all the extras or a cinnamon bun, you want more and more. It can be hard to stop eating, even when you're full. It's not just you. Years of research has taught former FDA Commissioner David Kessler that sugar, fat, and salt change the brain. Those ingredients are the stars of Kessler's new book, The End of Overeating. It's about why there's so much sugar, fat, and salt in fast food and processed food, and how that's affecting our brains as well as our waistlines. Kessler was the FDA commissioner under Presidents George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. He's the former dean of the medical schools at Yale and the University of California, San Francisco. David Kessler, welcome to Fresh Air. In your book, you blame overeating not only on a lack of willpower, but you say we're eating foods basically that are designed, perhaps intentionally designed, to get us to just keep eating, and that things like sugar, fat, and salt increase your craving. Why do they do that? Why do we keep wanting more sugar when we're eating something sweet, or more salt when we're eating popcorn or pretzels or potato chips?
We used to think of food was something we ate to fill us up, to satiate us. But in fact, much of the food that we're eating, this trifecta of sugar, fat, and salt, stimulate us. And what we now see is the science that shows that much of the food that we're eating, that's very highly palatable food, is excessively activating the neural circuitry of many of our brains. We used to just think that, you know, food tasted good, but we now know what's behind that. And for many of us, the reason we keep on eating is because of the sustained stimulation.
Now, you describe how foods that sound really healthy, like a potato or a chicken breast, can really just become vehicles for the trifecta of salt, fat, and sugar. Give us an example of a food that it kind of sounds healthy, but when you're done with it, when the industry is done with it, it isn't.
Take the spinach dip. You see the word spinach on the menu. You think, boy, that's good for me. What is it? You know, it's fat and salt with some green things in them. Even our basic chicken breast increasingly has food that's injected or marinated or mixed in a huge cement mixer, and it has sugar and fat and salt injected into it. You know, and it's very stimulating. It's very highly effective in getting us to eat more and more.
But, you know, as you point out in your book, restaurants aren't shy about advertising all the stuff, not ingredient per ingredient, but how rich these foods are. And you give an example from the TGI Friday menu, and you describe TGI Fridays as the chain restaurant designed to be the ultimate food carnival. So this is one appetizer, the Parmesan-crusted Sicilian quesadilla. And it says, packed with sautéed chicken, sausage, bruschetta marinara, and bacon, and oozing with Monterey Jack cheese. We coat it with Parmesan and pan fry it to a crispy golden brown, then drizzle it with balsamic glaze. So what's going on in that Parmesan-crusted Sicilian quesadilla?
If you translate what it says on the menu, what is it? It's fat on fat on fat on salt on fat. That's what it is.
Let me read another menu item, and this is how the menu describes it, or at least how it described it when you were writing the book. And this is from Chili's, which is another chain restaurant, and this is the margarita grilled chicken. That sounds pretty healthy. Okay, so here's a description. We start with tender, juicy chicken breast, marinate it with our classic margarita flavoring, and grill it to perfection. And then the dish is served with rice, beans, strips of fried tortilla, and salsa. And that sounds pretty good. So what are your objections to the margarita grilled chicken?
Well, if you go look what's actually in the chicken, let me read you what's in there. It contains a 15% solution of a marinade, which that marinade has orange juice, sweet and sour mix, which is sugar, citric acid, soybean oil, artificial colorings, has triple sec, canola oil, tequila, salt, and that's all added inside the chicken.
Because of the marinade.
The marinade, it's mixed in this huge mixer. Sometimes it looks like a cement mixer. And so you have these sugary fat syrups added inside the chicken. You think you're eating good grilled chicken. You think it's healthy. Only then do you understand that you have this this solution of this sugar, fat, and salt added to something that we think is healthy.
And it's not like you can say, hold the sauce, because it's already embedded in the chicken.
It's, unfortunately, it's hold the chicken.
Well, you actually have a theory about conditioned hypereating. That's what you call it. What do you mean by conditioned hypereating?
What the science seems to be showing, and it's still evolving, is that for many of us, many people who are susceptible, highly palatable foods, the foods that we're eating every day now, are excessively activating the neural circuitry of our brain. And for many of us, once we get stimulated, our brains, this neural circuitry doesn't shut off. And the behavior becomes, and this is important, it becomes not only conditioned, but it becomes driven. When it comes, you know, to certain stimuli and certain neural circuits, not only does it form habits, not only do I learn it, but I become motivated to seek it out. So the behavior becomes conditioned and driven. You know, we used to think it's simply a matter, if you want to control your weight, it's a matter of willpower. No one's given us the tools to be able to deal with it. Diet and exercise? Sure, it'll work for some period of time. I take you and I put you on a diet, but I don't change your brain circuitry. I get you through the next 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. Yes, you lose the weight, but then I put you back in your environment. I can continue to cue you, and I've not added any new learning on top of that old learning. And what's going to happen? Of course you're going to gain the weight back.
So what are some of your suggestions for effective food rehab?
There are things I can do just to decrease the amount of stimulation. So don't cue me. You know, take that bread away. I don't want to see that, because that's only going to increase the stimulation. Or don't deprive me, because if deprivation is only going to increase the reward value. So taking away the cues, not being primed, decreasing feelings of deprivation, all those can decrease being stimulated. But how realistic is that in our current environment? So, you know, the ultimate goal is to cool down the stimulus. And the way to do that is to want something more. So I can set rules for myself. I can eat in not a chaotic way and say, boy, I don't want this now. I'm going to want something better later. So rules work, structured eating in meals. But ultimately is to have what psychologists call a critical perceptual shift. If you look at that huge plate of fries and say, wow, that's great. But if you can get to the point of looking at those that food, that plate of nachos, and say, boy, what is that? That's just fat on fat on sugar and fat. If you can change what scientists call the reward value of the stimulus, then when you're cued by that stimulus, your brain doesn't get stimulated. You don't get activated.
One of the ways that you can find out now what you're actually putting into your system is if you shop for packaged food in a supermarket, it's going to say on the label what the ingredients are, how many calories are in it, how many fat calories are in it. And you could actually have what you can assume, I think, is an accurate breakdown of what you're going to be eating. You're partly responsible for that, aren't you, those labels, from when you were FDA commissioner?
We're partly responsible for that. In fact, one of the people I was interviewing in the book, in the food industry, said, Kessler, this is all your fault, because you were pretty effective in putting on processed foods the food label. But where did this go? You know, once you got that under control, where did this go? It went to restaurants. And that there was no food label.
Would you like to see food labels in restaurants so that when we ate a cheeseburger or a nacho, that we'd have the same information we'd get if we'd bought it in a supermarket?
I think disclosure is very important. But it's also important to understand that eating has to be pleasurable. It has to be rewarding. But we have to adjust. And I think what's critical is we need to change how America looks at food. You know, the plain hamburger may be fine. I'm not here to give nutrition advice, and some of my colleagues will disagree with me. But you eat a hamburger 400 or 500 calories at a meal. You know, I don't have a lot of problems with that. It's when that hamburger has layers and upon layers, you know, of bacon and cheese and dressings, and you take that 400 and 500 calories and you make it 800 or 1200 or 1500 calories. That's where I think the damage is being done.
What are your concerns about children who grow up with this highly fat, sugar, salt kind of fast food? And that's their normal. That's the kind of zetzed up food that they think is normal food, and that's the way their compass is set when they desire food.
As a pediatrician, that gives me the greatest concern, because I now understand that once you lay down that neural circuitry that gets activated by this highly palatable food, you lay down that learning. That learning stays with you for life. And we have children now 3, 4, 5 years of age who are eating constantly all day fat, sugar, and salt. They've never been hungry for a moment in their lives. If you look at the science, what we used to see was that children at ages 2 and 3 and 4 used to compensate for their eating, which meant if I gave them more calories at one meal, they would eat less later on in the day. Now, by giving them this highly palatable, rewarding food, they've lost the ability to compensate. The reward circuits of their brain have taken over any of the homeostatic mechanisms that allowed them to control their eating in the first place.
Well, I can hear some people thinking, is now he going to recommend that the government regulate McDonald's or regulate TGI Fridays? Do we want the government being in the kitchen with the chef?
If you look at the great public health successes, if you look at tobacco, if you look at seatbelts, how did we win those battles? Sure, there's a role for government, I mean, in part. But in the end, what did we do? We changed the way we look at tobacco. We changed the way I get in a car and I don't feel normal unless I put on that seatbelt. So yes, government has a role. The industry has a role. We as consumers have a role. But the first thing is we have to change how we look at food. And this is about our relationship with food. It's not simply a matter of government regulation.
David Kessler, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
David Kessler is a former FDA commissioner. His new book is called The End of Overeating.